Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 4-2 last weekend, 3-1 on the NFL games on Sunday. This from Steve. Public has crushed it in the NFL this year. How did you do it again? Thank you, Steve. That's a compliment. That's a compliment. It's a good question too. I'd have to do more research on it. My college record, which you know most people complain about typically early in the season, did really well. I know on college games in kind of the second half of the season, but I think I just got the right NFL games more often than not. It is true, the public really over the last month of the NFL season really crushed a lot of sports books. And for whatever reason, I avoided those, you know, sides that more often than not I probably would have had, but for reasons typically because I knew that there was certain bettors and certain sharp bettors on the other side probably steered clear of them. All right, I got three plays this weekend, one of them involving our game Sunday night, but we'll start with tonight. Look, there isn't anybody that hasn't said that's followed this college football playoff after Ohio State destroyed Tennessee and destroyed Oregon that hasn't said just basically stencil in Ohio State's name on the trophy, the Dr. Pepper trophy for the national championship. A week from Monday night, Ohio State's the best team. They're the best team by miles, and they're going to win the national championship easily. The public is lined up on Ohio State. I mean, if you had two lines in a sports book, one to bet on Ohio State and one to bet on Texas, there would be nobody in the Texas line. And the Ohio State line, you'd have to get into early in the morning or you wouldn't be able to get the bet in. I'd be the guy in the Texas line. I'm taking Texas plus the 6. I actually kind of like them on the money line too, but the wager, the smell test pick, is major against the public. Ohio State laying 6. I'll take Texas getting the points plus the 6. In terms of thinking about this game, Denton, I really think it's the Michigan model where they stop the run. Ohio State doesn't run it enough, which they didn't do against Michigan, and somehow they get Will Howard off the mark and they rattle him. Texas has arguably the best front four in the game. I'm not taking a quarterback that I feel good about in Quinn Ewers. That's part of the problem. And Ohio State's defense has been awesome as well. I think there's a little bit of the Michigan game here for Texas to keep it close, and I think if they end up covering, it's or winning outright, it's 13-10, or it's 17-13, something like that. But I love Ohio State as a team too. I think Jeremiah Smith is the best receiver we've seen in college football in a while. I love the way Ryan Day calls it, and I would expect that they're going to get the ball out quickly into the receiver's hands and make Texas tackle in space. I don't see it from I don't feel confident that Texas can do it if I were just picking the winner of the game without being a better. But this is one of those that just fits the philosophy. The world is on Ohio State. There is some sharp Texas money line money that has come in over the last 2 days. Hasn't really impacted the point spread because it's been money line money. I like Texas plus 6. We'll kick it off that way. We go to tomorrow, where the biggest public play of the 6 wild card weekend games, the LA Chargers, laying 3, a perceived very short number against Houston. Look, people are wondering why Ohio State's favored by less than a touchdown with the way they looked against Oregon and Tennessee. And people are wondering why LA's only a 3-point favorite against a team that has not been very good in Houston. I'll take the Texans plus the 3 at home. They can do it defensively. Houston can. And then the last play in the smell test for the weekend is our game, Sunday night. There is more action on Washington than Tampa Bay, but it's not overwhelming action. Where there is overwhelming action is on the over. That line is at 50.5. I'm going to play the under here. I've been talking all week. This has got 30-27, 31-28, 34-31 written all over it. But it's not the way I wager. Every sports book in America will need that game to come in under the total of 50.5. And if you're going to stick with me on this, which you should based on my track record, you should play it sooner rather than later. Why do I say that? I have a feeling there will be a lot of sharp money on the under as well in this one, and that'll bring the number down. Under Tampa Bay, Washington, 50.5. Those are the three plays. Texas tonight plus 6. The Texans tomorrow plus the 3. And Washington, Tampa under 50.5 on Sunday night. There were a couple of other things I kind of liked, Denton. I kind of liked the under in the game tonight, too, between Texas and Ohio State. Kind of like the under in the Chargers-Texans games. I like a lot of the unders. You know, I've said this before. The public loves favorites and overs, typically, in standalone games. So if you love a favorite or you love an over in a standalone, nationally televised, no other game going on, you're typically not on the smart side. There is some smart overaction in a couple of these games. But there you go. Texas plus 6 tonight. Houston plus 3 tomorrow. And the Washington-Tampa under 50.5 on Sunday night. Let's get some Denton news in the all-pro teams, which have been announced. All right. So,
We got some all-pros.
You told me this in a break, and I'm like, four? Well, I'm like, Terry is definite, and then I'm like, and I guessed Luvu, right? I guessed three of them. I did not guess the fourth.
You guessed three of them, so there's three that you got. These are all second-team guys. Washington, Landon,
nobody made the first team.
Nobody on the first team, but they got four on the second team. Terry, and then both linebackers, Luvu and Wagner.
I love that Luvu's on that second team.
Luvu should be. The Wagner one might be a little more surprising. I didn't see a lot of predictions with him on it, but he made it. And then the fourth one was special teams related. It wasn't.
This is shocking. And I guessed when you told me it was special teams, I said, oh, Nick Ballor, he made it. Or Reeves made it. Or maybe, you know, tell everybody who made the team as the starting kick returner on the all-pro second team.
It is Austin Eckler.
Kevontae Turpin was the first team returner, I'm assuming.
Kevontae Turpin was first team kick returner. Marvin Mims was punt returner.
Look, Austin Eckler, I think, was second or third in the league in kickoff returns when he got hurt. What was he averaging? 34, 35 kickoff return?
Yeah, something very, very impressive. He did have a touchdown that was called back.
Called back against the Giants.
Penalty, which is kind of a nonsense penalty, away from the play, shouldn't have been called. But he had Austin Eckler had a great year returning wise. His official numbers: 19 returns for 594 yards.
How many returns did he have relative to, say, Turpin or other top guys?
Let me see if I can pull up the full stats across the NFL. I mean, Turpin obviously had at least one touchdown, unfortunately.
We did not see, by the way, this year with the new kickoff return rule, we did not see like this increase in huge returns and touchdown returns.
But here's why. I mean, Austin Eckler is third in kick return yardage.
Yeah. What was the number? 34?
He averaged 31.3 yards per return. Kevontae Turpin averaged 33.5. He had nearly 1,000 yards of returnage yards on 27 attempts. And one touchdown.
What was Eckler's total number of kickoff returns?
19.
Who was close to that with an average? Because he missed, you know, six games or whatever he missed.
So the averages are as follow.
How about the guy in Cincinnati that had a kickoff return early, the Purdue guy?
Charlie Jones. He only returned 5.
Okay.
He had 5 for 200, but one of them was 100 yards.
How about the former Skin? And Charger, who was a receiver and a returner here who was really good.
DeAndre Carter was more DeAndre punt Carter. Return guys. Laviska Shenault was the Chargers' best kick return guy.
What about Carter? Where does he play? Chicago? Detroit? Chicago?
Los Angeles, I thought. Is he not there anymore?
No, he got moved. He had a couple of big returns this year. I remember seeing on the highlights.
He's in Chicago. He had he was much more of a punt return guy, but he did have 479 yards, a 67-yarder on the kick return guy, but he's much more of a punt guy.
What was his average on kickoff returns?
31.9.
Oof.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that averaged close to what Eckler did. I think for him specifically, it was the yardage of 594.
Well, that's awesome. That he was headed towards that. If he had played in all those games, he was certainly headed towards a Pro Bowl kickoff returner opportunity and certainly an All-Pro. And they recognized him for what he was when he was healthy. He was an excellent kickoff returner. By the way, he didn't do it Sunday against Dallas. And Luke McCaffrey's proven to be a pretty decent kickoff returner as well. Washington's special teams overall this year, minus some of the field goal and PAT kicking issues, were pretty outstanding coverage-wise and then Tressway as well. But Terry, okay, I've got the list now. So the starting receivers, it had to be Chase and Jefferson.
Jefferson were the only two players that were unanimous first team selections.
So here it is. So you had mentioned this when we started to talk about this. Three receivers on each of the first two teams. So Amon-Ra St. Brown was the third receiver.
Yes.
Remember, we thought there was a chance he would make it over Terry on the first team All-Pro. We also thought there was a chance that CeeDee Lamb might make it or A.J. Brown might make it in front of Terry on the first team. But Amon-Ra St. Brown was the third after Chase and Jefferson on the first team. The second team receivers, Terry, CeeDee Lamb, A.J. Brown.
NFC East, stand up.
Is that listed, by the way, in vote total, or it's not alphabetical?
It's not alphabetical. My assumption is that Terry was the first second team selection,
okay,
by the way this is laid out. That I'm seeing it. Are you looking at that Ari Mirov guy, his Twitter account?
No, I'm looking at the ESPN.com story.
Oh, then I mean, my guess would be that it is listed top to 1, 2, and 3 for receivers.
Mm-hmm. I wonder who I wonder if Cosme got even close.
It is worth noting, Josh Allen is second team, All-Pro, Lamar is first. That should lean in the direction of Lamar winning MVP.
Oh, right. Yeah. Definitely.
Because these are, I don't know if it's the exact same people that vote All Pro and MVP, but
it's got to be a big
overlap.
Crossover.
Yeah, the Venn diagram, the middle of that Venn diagram is pretty big.
Can we still get Lamar pretty good odds?
You can get Lamar at some books at plus 320. So I would run over there now if you have the opportunity to maybe throw some money down on Lamar's MVP. I'm in D.C., so I can bet MVP. I might have to throw some on
I'm that. Most excited that Frankie Louvu was recognized for the player that he was. Because, remember, he was a second-team alternate on the Pro Bowl voting.
Right.
Louvu is the first linebacker. How do they do that? They have edge rushers and linebackers. So basically interior linebackers. He's the first linebacker listed on the second team. If it is by votes, he just missed the first team, which was Zach Bond. He was outstanding with Philadelphia. Fred Warner, Roquan Smith. And then Louvu, Wagner, and Zaire Franklin in Indy. Okay. All right. There you go. Four first team all pros. Not bad. Not bad at all. We'll finish up with, let's see if we've got time. If you want to get on the phone lines real quickly, just how will Jaden fare in his first win or go home career game? Give me some quick numbers. Denton and I will do the same. We'll have our final score predictions on Sunday night's game as well.